ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة.
Muslim family.
Islamic family paradigm.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of the Lord of the heavens and the earth, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We offer you our warm welcomes in another edition of the program Muslim Family. I'm Fatima Shamili, the host of this program, and with us in the studio is Dr. Abbas Ali Shamili, the expert of this broadcast. He holds an MA in Developmental Psychology and a PhD in Culture and Values in Education from McGill University, Canada. He has studied and taught in the Islamic Seminary in Qom for more than 25 years, has had more than 12 years of experience regarding counseling issues, especially on family affairs, and at the moment he's a staff member of Al-Mustafa International University. Dr. Shamili, salam alaikum, and thank you very much for joining us once again.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I'm also very happy to have this chance to be in this studio for this new program.
Thank you. So we were talking in the previous program about the verses of chapter Luqman, about how Luqman actually talks to his son about not being arrogant and not walking in a proud way among the people and being humble. Mm-hmm. When socializing with people, right? Yeah. But we didn't say anything about explanation of this verse because we were out of time. So we are ready to hear it now.
Talking about social norms, mm-hmm. as highlighted within the religion. You know, the Prophet Luqman was a previous religion. Number one, carefulness of religion with regard to socialization and social norms and neighborhood. Citizenship. Number two, putting the religious codes, religious moral codes, in a simple, understandable, tangible, feasible way. Mm-hmm. And number three, whenever you want to educate someone morally and ethically, it's better to begin to invite the person who is going to be educated to put himself as someone who is the target of treatment of others. Mm-hmm. Would you like yourself, would you expect other people to treat you in this way? If you say no, then the other people too. Mm-hmm. So one good yardstick to treat them in an influential way. Just before any teaching, ask them, would you like to be treated from other people in this way? Would you like it? If no, then be careful not to treat people in the way that you don't like to be treated yourself. Mm-hmm. And again, Prophet Luqman, when he wants to talk about polytheism. Polytheism is a complicated concept for belief system. He does not go through the discussions, arguments, and tough explanations. In a simple way, إِذْ غَالَ لُغْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِدُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. If you go for polytheism, polytheism is a form of oppression. Oppressing whom? Oppressing yourself. Because by polytheism, you distance yourself. You distance yourself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From divine compassion. لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Then this is oppression toward yourself. Because you deprive yourself from divine compassion. And religion is a way of living in a calm, relaxed, and joyful way. But everything in its own place. No disregard, no exaggeration. Okay, you give time to different needs, to different requests, but you don't go by extremities, by exaggerations and things like that. Then, when you talk about the role of parents, number one, religious. Number two, gifts. Number three, daily habits, which could be individual, personal, and it could be social.
Mm-hmm.
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about the son of Umm Salama. Umm Salama was one of the wives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She had a boy from previous husband,
mm-hmm.
and she brought him to the house of Prophet. Once Prophet Muhammad invited some guest, he had a ceremony session, and Umar ibn Abi Salama, the son of Umm Salama, was on this session. When they put the table and brought the meals and everything inside, Umar ibn Abu Salama realized that it's a good chance, good opportunity to take a good benefit out of this table.
Mm-hmm.
So he started getting food and meal and fruits from everywhere. He finished in front of him, then he goes to the neighborhood on the left, then on the right, then on the opposite side, and then he was doing this. And while he was eating, he was looking at the faces, at the mouths. Prophet Muhammad said, "Oh boy, when you sit on the table for food, number one, you begin with Bismillah. Don't start with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Start with Bismillah. Then try to eat from your own..."
Just in front of you.
In front of you. Whatever is located in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Then don't look at other faces, at other mouths. Then don't rush in eating. And if you need more, it's not good habit, good manner to take from your neighborhood. It's better to ask the host. They will come to you. Again, in another story, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib was talking with Imam Hassan. At that time, he was not Imam. He was the son of Imam. Then Imam started, "Look at the content. I'm just providing these narrations to show you what do I mean by religious education. When I talk about religious education, you immediately go to, oh yeah, monotheism, prophethood, imamate, the day of resurrection, and things like that. The divine justice." No, it's not just. This is the first step, the pillars. The second step, the branches, Usuluddin, Furu'uddin. Then you go to lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Amirul Mu'mineen.
Okay, let's wait and hear the hadith after when we come back from the break, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Looking up at the sky, searching for the Most High. He rejected the way of worshipping gods of clay. Prophet Ibrahim knew that Allah was near, and that the heart of a Muslim is sincere. Under the hot burning sun, he declared God is one. Though with stones on his chest, his iman would not rest. The Mu'adhin knew that right will conquer wrong, and the heart of a Muslim must be strong.
Dear believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, welcome back. This is the second part of our discussion in today's Muslim family. Before the break, we were talking about the education of the children, however, not in the formal level. And then we were specifically talking about the etiquettes of sitting at the table and eating. Okay?
Yeah. I provided one narration from Prophet Muhammad and the son of Umm Salama from Prophet. It was very nice to just put the points in a very nice...
practical way.
Practical way. And secondly, Ali ibn Abi Talib was talking to Hassan, his son Hassan, his old son Hassan. And Hassan was asking about hygienic points. It's not just about praying, fasting, going to Hajj. Hygienic points. Father, Dad, what should I follow up in terms of preserving my health?
Mm-hmm.
To be healthy. Particularly hygienic.
Mm-hmm.
What prevent you from going to disease and sickness? Ali ibn Abi Talib said, 4 points. If you follow up these 4 points, then you will be healthy and prevented from all types of internal diseases. Number one, don't sit on the table for eating unless you are hungry enough. Not, I'm hungry, but a bit. What do you mean by a bit? Fully hungry, number one. Number two, when you sit for eating before you're completely full, leave a part.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to the end. This is number two. Number three, when you eat, chew your meal to the most level possible way. To the way that you make it liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Chew it perfectly. You know, not chew. Chew it perfectly and completely. This is number three and number four. Before you go to bed, don't forget to go to the bathroom and release yourself. Release your urine. You need this. Beloved Hassan, if you follow up these 4 points, then you won't need to go to any clinic or any doctor, any physician. You don't need any physician for yourself in your life. This is a way of education put for dads. When I finish this, I come to hidden curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
There are some responsibilities with regard to fathers, with regard to hidden training, hidden education, hidden rearing. I don't say, it's not good to say hidden curriculum, because curriculum is informal schooling. But I could say hidden education,
mm-hmm.
hidden training, hidden rearing. Number one, honorable treatment with your children. The way that you treat and you behave and you conduct your children, they will behave the same in their future life with their couple and with their children. And with their peers. Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib says, treat your children in a way that they feel they are someone important.
Mm-hmm.
So even your daughter is 2 years. Oh, Fatima, what a great girl do I have. Oh, Hassan, oh, Hussein, oh, Muhammad, lovely. What a big job you did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you very much. You walked, you know. And more important, a tradition from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet said, for providing salam, don't wait for children to provide you salam. You begin. You start. Don't say that this is children who must provide salam and greetings to the elderly. For salam, you begin. You afford your salams to children to let them know that salam is a polite way in social treatment. This is number one, hidden training. Number two, it would be better for fathers to participate in feeding their infants and their children in phases number one and number one. Infants and children. Because on phases number two and number three, they are matured enough to deal with themselves, with feeding. But it is recommended for dads to participate in feeding. Salman Farsi says, I was in the house of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then I found Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein that they were eating with Prophet. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while they were at the age of 3 or 4, was taking one piece for Hassan and one piece for Hussein. Then Prophet Muhammad, after eating, when they finish meal, he gave them a ride. Himself was someone available at their access to have a ride.
On his back, right?
Yes, on his shoulder and on his back. Sometimes was carrying Hassan on his shoulder, and someone is putting Hussein on his laps to show that children as well as feeding are in need of physical attachment.
Playing
and physical attachment, just to sit on your laps. Don't say that, oh, you are 2-3 years and don't, you just sit on the ground. You don't sit on my laps. No, no. Give them chance even to climb, even to play with you, even to sit on your laps, on your shoulder, even during the praying. When Prophet Muhammad was prostrating, he was giving chance to Hassan and Hussein to take their joy. And even they were riding. And Prophet was giving them time and chance to take their own need. So this is honorable treatment, participation and collaboration in terms of feeding, playing, and physical attachment. And number 3, give enough chance for adolescents and teenagers, particularly the age of 18, 19, 20, and 21, for being minister. The
counselors.
Position of minister.
Mm-hmm.
Minister of consultation. Whatever major decisions that you want to make, give the chance to your boys and girls to have chance for affording their opinion, their ideas, their, you know, tastes. Someone, it's the matter of taste. It's not idea. It's not information. Just give them the chance to enjoy their taste. It's a new taste which comes.
Okay, let's leave the continuation of our discussion for after returning from the break. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned. Muslim family.
In a poor, meager state, little food on a plate. Mother said she was glad, always sharing what we had. When I asked how can we share what's not enough, she said the heart of a Muslim's filled with love. He said it's time you should know, you will learn as you grow, that some people around will do what's bad to bring you down. Father said to be a star that's shining bright, for the heart of a Muslim does what's right. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.
Honorable listeners, welcome back. You are listening to the third and final part of our discussion in today's Muslim family. And we are talking about the aspects of hidden education regarding children in Islam. First of all, we mentioned that it's important that the parents respect or honor their children, for example, one by saying, proceeding in saying salam and not waiting for the children to say salam. Second of all, that the father helps in feeding the child in childhood phase 1, which is 0 to 2 years old, and the child actually needs to be fed. And then also you said the importance of physical attachment, right? That you you caress the child, you sit him or her on your lap, and you play with them in order that they sense the sweetness of relationship or playing with their parents. Okay, we are ready to hear the rest of your words.
Yeah. So, affording the position of consultation and ministry is one of other duties of dads. Of course, the narrations with regard to dividing the phases of training to 3/7 is not addressing dad only. It is general. It could include both parents, moms and dads. But when it comes to the position of consultation and ministry, we could conclude, it's a conclusion, we could conclude that the position of decision-making and major management of the family is due to dads. So they have to give enough chance to mature male and females to have their own chance for the affordance of opinions, ideas, solutions, and provide them the opportunity of creativity and coming to new ideas. And if not, even give them chance to have their own taste, enjoy their own taste. This is what I wanted to say with regard to the responsibility of dads. There are other Quranic and teachings in narrations with regard to general teachings with regard to both fathers and moms, both parents. Like, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ والحجارة. So this verse, O the faithful, protect yourself and your family from a hellfire which has both people and stones
at inside the,
at the as the fuel. So these types of verses in the Quran, Quranic verses, talks about general duties and responsibilities of both dads and moms. Or when you talk about رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Chapter Al-Isra, verse number 24. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخْفِذْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الدُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Lower the wing of humility to your parents out of mercy and say, my Lord, have mercy on them, just as they reared me when I was a small
child.
So, kama rabbayani sagira. Rabbayani means trained me, reared me. Who are these both? These two? Moms and dads. So, in this way, Quran reveals that the mission of rearing, training, and education is not just for dads or just for
moms.
It's a shared...
Dr. Shamli, I just wanted to add one point, and this point is based upon the hadith. I don't know from which infallible, but he says, educate your children based upon the requirements of their time, okay? And I think this is something that all parents should... pay great attention to. And I would like to narrow down my suggestion, actually, to this specific example that, you know, like nowadays when children want to go to school, books are purchased or notebooks are purchased or pencils and erasers and all of those utensils that are used for school, whatever. It's important that, like, with the variety of choices that you have today in the market, for example, it's very popular now that for boys you have Superman and Spider-Man and Hercules and all of those figures, and for girls you have these different kinds of princesses and Barbies and all of those figures that are very popular popular in cartoons or in animations, that as Muslim parents, we are careful not to purchase these things for our kids. And then furthermore, to explain it for them, that Barbie's not your example, because, you know, we were talking about hidden education, right? And I think these really, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but these are very outstanding. They have very outstanding influences on the children. Because, for example, when the child is so happy about, oh, I want to buy this, and, you know, yep. they go to school and they show it to each other, right? And then I think this would create a background for discussion between little children that they say, oh, I got Barbie, I got Princess, I got Snow White, I got Cinderella. What about you? I got trees. Oh my God, how come you don't have something like us? And they're like, you know, my mom told me that I don't want to be like Barbie. I don't want to be like, it's not a value for me. And then they start talking. And even though they may reject what your child is saying, but then they will also, you know, think about it. So you're creating a platform for thinking inside your own child and inside the atmosphere that your child is living in. So I think this is something that, like, really parents should take care of. We have about 1.5 more minutes, so I would like to take it with your permission and wrap up what we talked about today.
Okay.
We talked about the importance of, the final part of our discussion was about hidden education in Islam. First of all, that parents should honor and respect their children by proceeding and saying salam and not waiting for them. Second of all, fathers should take a share and responsibility in feeding the child in childhood phase one, yes. when they need to be exactly. fed. Third of all, that the child needs to have physical contact with the father. And fourth of all, that in the third 7 year of the life of the child, they need to play the role of the minister or be the consultant. I hope that our dear listeners enjoyed listening to our discussion. Until another episode of Muslim Family, may the peace and blessings of Allah shower upon you all.
So whatever you do, make sure your words are true. Honesty is the best, because life is a test. Even if it hurts so much, you want to cry. For the heart of a Muslim does not lie. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.